Thank you guys for being here today. You see the title there, then the subtitle down below, Evolution of an Idea. It could be de-evolution, too. I'm not sure at this point. You guys can make up your mind in a couple of minutes. For this particular slide and the next one after this, just focus on the weed in the center of that circle. I'm going to try to start this video. And just, it's going to last, the video is going to last for a second, so just concentrate on that weed. And it's gone. Okay? Now, same thing here. Just concentrate on those two, these are pigweeds now. And so what's happening is there, we're exposing those wheat seedlings to some grit. And that grit actually happens to come from corn cobs. And the corn cobs are agricultural residue. Well, at least they used to be. Now, then when all these biofermentation type things got started recently, they wanted to convert these things, you know, cellulosic ethanol and so forth. So the price of corn cobs actually went up after we had this idea. But nevertheless, this is typically an agricultural residue. We've got mountains of this stuff. And we can grind the corn cobs up into corn cob grit. And then typically the corn cob grit is used in sandblasters. Now, why this particular individual is blasting the side of his log cabin is beyond me. It looked just fine, a brown color as opposed to a yellow color. Nevertheless, people do this. And they use grits, they're called soft grits, like corn cob grit to do this. But and there are lots of other types of grits, made out of agricultural residues, like walnut shells. For those of you who like red wine, you know, there's grape pomace. You know, we have mountains of grape pomace from you wine drinkers. And if you're drinking wine, you're probably eating some olives with it. And there's olive pits. So you also make grit out of olive pits. And then coffee grounds. How many of you had Starbucks coffee this morning, right? There's a lot. And 3,500 metric tons, dry tons, produced every day of spent coffee grounds. What do we do with that stuff? Well, we throw them away, typically. But maybe we can make use of them. And actually, if you Google that spent coffee grounds on the internet, you can Google that stuff. And for you millennial men out there, the picture on the lower right is charcoal briquettes made out of spent coffee grounds. You know, it's, you guys are, you know, barbecuing your bratwurst or something on spent coffee grounds. Now, you women, I'm not going to let you off the hook. You know, you're washing your faces with this stuff. And look at that woman in the center with the brown ooze going down her arm. You know, oh yuck, that's just gross. Whatever the case, and you can also use them for compost and flower pots and things like that. But real guys, real men, they use the coffee grounds that blast things, that kill things, right? And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to find agricultural grits that can help, in this case, kill weeds. But not just any of this happens to be lamb's quarters, but not just any weeds. It's those weeds that are in the crop row. We can take care of those inter-row weeds, just as Stephen said, easily with various types of machinery and flamers and so forth. It's those weeds that are in the crop row. Those are the ones that are causing the problems for organic producers. All weeds cause problems for organic producers, but especially ones within the crop row. So how do we get rid of those? So here's a slide. We can use some of these residues. Which residues should we be using? So what this young woman is doing, she's in Spain. One of my colleagues is Manuel Perez Ruiz from the University of Seville. And he's an ag engineer, and he got interested in this. And so what this young lady is holding is a little portable grit applicator. She's applying the grit to some tissue papers, different layers of tissue paper, and she wants to see how much penetration she can get on those layers of tissue paper from using different types of grits. And that's what this slide represents. Olive seed grit on the left, going up then pelletized poultry manure, almond shell grit, maize cob, corn cob grit, grape pomace, soybean meal, sand, and then walnut shell grit. And looking at different different air pressures over here, and by and large, walnut grit. All of the grits seem to work. They penetrate these tissue papers, but walnut grit seems to work the best. out of all of these. And why does walnut grit work well? Because it's really hard, it's dense, and it's angular, and it shreds small weed seedlings really nicely. But again, all of those grits will work, just that some work better than others. So we've used those different types of grits. This happens to be with walnut grit in this slide. This is in a greenhouse situation. You can on the right hand side you can see the control plants, small wheat, the lamb's quarters, small lamb's quarters, bigger and then bigger, and then we apply one blast, split second blast of grit, at least at the top tier of pots, a single split second blast of grit. So just that's it, you know, less than a second worth of grit application, and that little weed is gone. If the weeds are a little bit bigger, maybe you need two blasts, split second blasts, and then as the weeds get, say, like the sixth leaf stage, down in that bottom tier of pots, you might need five blasts of grit. So you can kill it. If you spray it enough, you're going to kill whatever's there. The problem is that you don't want to spend too much time blasting that same weed, because then the price of the weed control goes up dramatically. So anyway, we could definitely kill those weeds. We can summarize that sort of data. I'm not going to go through this slide, but we can make frequency histograms and so forth that explain all of that data. And I'm not going to show you lots of data slides, but we've got plenty of it about air pressures, the distance of the nozzle to the weed plant and so forth. We've got all of that done, but I'm not going to go through any of that. Let's think about field situation. So it worked in the greenhouse. Then let's move to the field. And so we made a Rube Goldberg apparatus initially. My technicians refused to actually hold the nozzle. They made me do that. They wanted to drive the vehicle. But on that vehicle, there's a grit tank and there's an air compressor back there and so forth. And then I would walk by and I would hold a nozzle and walk by and try to get the weeds. Video is only going to last a second, but you can kind of see how we did that, just to test the idea out in the field. And of course, we're federal employees, so we had to stand around, look at things, drink coffee, and so forth. But here's just some visual idea of what the results look like. Upper left-hand side is the weedy check about 6 days after the last grit application. And just concentrate on the weeds within the corn row, not the inter-row weeds, because we can take care of those with a cultivator. Those are my feet, my old boots. I have a new pair of boots now. But those are anyway, you can see the density of pigweeds, mostly pigweeds, some lamb's quarters in there too. And then on the bottom right, you can see after two grit applications, and we timed the grit applications according to corn leaf stage. The one leaf stage and the three leaf stage, we applied grit. So we applied it twice. And you can see the level of weed control. It's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but it's not bad. Here's a close-up of that. There were some pigweeds there. Both of those pigweeds have been demolished. They're gone. There was a foxtail in the slide. That's gone. There was a ragweed, a rather substantial ragweed, in that next to one of those corn plants. That was damaged. I don't know if it's dead or not, but it was damaged very severely. And then there was this damn lamb's quarters there that wasn't even touched by the grit. So I don't know why. Probably for whatever reason. So it's not perfect weed control, but it's not bad weed control. Then we can make graphs looking at this stuff. And in this case, we applied the grit at different times. One application, two applications, three applications. So 1L, 3L, 5L over on the right-hand side of the slide. Those are single grit applications at the one leaf, three leaf, and five leaf stages of corn, and then two applications, and then on the very left-hand side of the graph, the one leaf, three leaf, and five leaf stages of corn, we made three applications. Level of weed control, some of the best we're getting about 90%. This is season-long weed control. Grit is being applied in June. We're measuring weed control in September. I'm not sure if that pointer is going to work for me. There it goes. So roughly 90% weed control with this one leaf plus five leaf application of grit compared to the hand weeded check over here. So it seems to work, and we're feeling a little cocky at this stage. You know, it's actually working out in the field with this Rube Goldberg apparatus. So let's apply for some grants. Let's see if we can get some money. And amazingly, we got some money, and with the money was specifically for building a larger machine. Well, it's not going to work. So they won't be able to see this later, but you guys can see it. So this is the PAGMAN machine, propelled abrasive grit management. There used to be some little computer game called Pac-Man. So we're trying to. That doesn't exist anymore. So our playful use of that word is meaningless now. But anyway, PAGMAN is what we thought of a few years ago, and here's PAGMAN in action. This one's going to take a few seconds to see. So it's four rows wide, eight nozzles. You have to aim those nozzles at the base of the corn plants. In this case, it's corn cob grit coming out of there, blasting the weeds, and hopefully not hurting the corn plants too much. Obviously, there's a little bit of damage to the corn plants, but the corn seems to be able to grow out of it reasonably well. Okay, so that's what our PAGMAN looks like. And we get reasonable weed control out of it as well. So this comes from a grad student from South Dakota State University, and his data. The top graph shows weed control, and again, I can't get this pointer to work. There it goes. At the say one leaf and the corn stage at one and five leaf and so forth, we're getting about 90% weed control, very similar to when we were using that Rube Goldberg apparatus before. And again, compare that to the hand weeded check, where we're getting nearly 100% weed control. So not bad weed control. Then if we look at the corn yields as well, they're getting reasonable corn yields, not significantly different from the hand weeded check. But in the weedy treatment, we are getting a significant reduction in corn yield. So it seems to be working. That's the main, the take-home message there. Are there some issues with it? Of course there are, but it seems to be working reasonably well. But by this time, we're having some ideas. Now, we try to be realistic about these things. So that's in corn. We've also used it in soybean. It works okay in soybean as well. But when you think about millions of acres of corn and soybean out there, are farmers going to be using that through those whole millions of acres? Of course they won't. But maybe they would be using it in a high-value crop. In this case, there's pictures of a vineyard. And actually, my colleague in Spain is using the system in vineyards in Spain. He got a grant from the Spanish government. But we started thinking about new types of grit applicators that could be used in high-value crops like vegetable crops. So here's our veggie blaster. Moving through some transplanted tomato right here, and then it's going to move on to some pepper in a moment. Again, this video will only take a couple of seconds. And that's Sam Wortman driving the tractor. He's a young professor at the University of Nebraska. When he was doing this work with those veggies, he was at the University of Illinois. And there's the most that's the air compressor. That's the most expensive part of this deal, is buying a big air compressor. The black thing that you can see in the picture is the grit tank, and then a metering system for getting the grit out of that tank. Okay, so what is it? So here's some tomato plants, the transplanted tomatoes. Upper right hand corner, no grit was applied on those tomato plants. Later on in the season, where no grit was applied, you can see the weeds coming out of those holes that were made into the plastic in those that tomato system. Over on the left hand side of the slide, you can see a picture of early. After the grit has been applied early on in the season, not all, but most of the weeds are dead and coming out of that hole in the plastic. And then later on in the season, you can see a tomato plant with very few weeds around it. Grit was applied in both of those cases, so it works. And here's some data coming from the pepper part of that experiment, the weedy check compared to the treated plants. Regardless of what type of grit Sam used or how many times he applied the grit, the treated plants had hardly any weeds growing with them, as opposed to the non-treated, the weedy check plants. And the yields followed. Okay, So we've also then we've been thinking more about how to use this in organic situations, especially for the really small growers, organic growers. We got some money from the North American Bramble Growers Association. So we started some experiments just this year on organic raspberries, and those are some first-year raspberries that you can see in the center of this particular slide. And here's our new grid newest version of the grid applicator. We're getting smaller and smaller, going back to that Rube Goldberg apparatus that I showed you initially. Whoops. Let me try to go back to that. Tab, enter. There it goes. So nothing marvelous here, but you can see that we're just trying to see if it works on the weeds that tend to grow with transplanted raspberry. Here's the hand-weeded Czech treatment. Hopefully there's no weeds in there. It was hand-weeded. Here's the grit-weeded treatment. And you can see some green weeds in growing with those transplanted raspberry plants. Those green weeds, little tufts of weeds, are the bluegrass that was planted in the alleyways. So some of those seeds drifted over into the experimental area. And lo and behold, we should have known this right from the start, but bluegrass is really resistant to abrasion. That's why we planted in soccer fields. But we weren't smart enough to think about that initially. We spent a lot of time applying grit to those damn bluegrass plants. Whatever the case is, we got rid of all the other plants, because here's the next slide is the weedy Czech plots, and that's mostly lamb's quarters and pigweed in the weedy Czech plots. There's a little bit of bluegrass in there too. Whatever the case is, you can see that we had a major impact on the weeds by using the grit applicator, as well as the hand weeding. So there's the weed biomass data from that experiment. There's no question that the grit application is working. And the next slide is the raspberry transplant. These are raspberries. So you harvest. You can harvest the whole plant at the end of the season. So the grit application and the hand weeding had very high biomass for the transplanted raspberries as opposed to the weedy Czech. So it works. That's the take-home message there. So in summary, does abrasive grit work? Yes, it does. Is it a panacea? No, it's not a panacea for all weed control or for organic weed control. Is there any crop damage? Well, not if you're careful. But it is a worry that you have to have. You can damage a crop if you apply enough grit to that crop plant. Will it cost more than herbicides? Of course it's going to cost more than herbicides. Herbicides are damn near miraculous in their effects, but they can't be used in some situations. And here's one tool that can be used in those types of situations. Does it cost more than tillage? Yes, it does, but there's no soil disturbance, and so hopefully it promotes soil health. Does it cost more than flaming? We think our crude calculations are that it's about the same cost as flaming. And are there some improvements that can be made? Yeah, lots and lots of improvements. Row sensors, for example, plant sensors. Right now, with the way our Pegman machinery, you have to drive that tractor as straight as can possibly be. Otherwise, you're going to be applying that grit to either the inter-row area or directly onto the crop plants that you don't want to do. You're going to be wasting the grit and hurting the crop plants. So having row sensors, plant sensors, would help tremendously. Weed and feed operations. I mentioned the pelletized poultry manure. It works really, really well, so you can weed and feed at the same time, and we know some of that poultry manure releases the nitrogen within about 2 to 3 weeks or so, and so you can get the crop uptake of that fertilizer within a fairly short time. If you don't get good weed control, of course, the weeds will take it up as well. And then lots of integrations with other tools. Those are things we have to work on. We've done a little bit of work so far, like integrating it with flaming and cultivation and so forth, but lots more work has to be done. That's it. Any questions?
We have time for a 20-second question and a 20-second response.
Yes.
I have a question about application in kind of that reduced tillage time residue system that we've been working on for many years. You know, there, the cover crop mulch is going to try to protect weeds. in between the row, but I'm less thinking about the ones that are between the row, more than in the row. The weeds come up, like, the corn comes up so much slower than the weeds. So the weeds and the corn off are somewhat similar height. So I'm just wondering if you have this thing, if you wait for the weeds to corn get big enough to tolerate the grit, they're going to work in that.
Yeah, that is an issue. At least in our experience, the corn, luckily for us at least, the corn seems to germinate fairly quickly, and we get a good height differential between the corn and the weeds. So we don't have too much of an issue there.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.